Welcome back to The Other Side of Darkness, an episodic Seinfeld parody story that follows Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer on a dark and mysterious journey inspired by the work of David Lynch. I'm Jesse, also known as Sign Peaks, the host, producer, writer, narrator of this project. And before we dig into this week's episode, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has waited so patiently and everyone who has been sending messages over the past year about the podcast. It's been a busy year. On a personal note, my wife and I welcomed our second kid into the world last May, and it's just been a busy time in the Sign Peaks household, keeping him alive. But he's 8 months old now. He's old enough to fend for himself, and so I am back in the studio. And very, very excited to share part 5 with y'all. Please stay tuned after the episode to hear from this week's featured band, a very special episode. That's the name of the band. Now, please enjoy The Other Side of Darkness, part 5.
The path of life is both uphill and downhill. There are mountains we must climb, and rivers that wash us downstream. We swim against the current at our own peril, thrashing madly like flies in a web, until we are too weary to take flight. All the while, the river flows on, for all our futile resistance, sweeping us out to sea. Sign Peaks presents Seinfeld, The Other Side of Darkness. Part 5, The Pain and the Yearning.
Who told you to plead the third? I didn't tell you to plead the third. I don't even know what the third is. No one does. It's the fifth, Robert. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you can't count to 5, we got bigger problems. Well, it's a hotel room. You don't own it. Did you sign a deed? Then they can search it all they want. If you let the crack and smack out on the minibar, that's on you.
Look, I'm sorry, I just need—
Now look, no more interviews. You look like hell on entertainment tonight. Go eat some steak. You need some iron, man. Actors.
In some way, my mother lives in Bob. Kind of amazing, yeah.
Good evening, New York. It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to Pure Land Living with your host, Tor Ekman. For the next 53 minutes, I will be your spiritual Sherpa as together we ascend to the peaks of enlightenment, guided by Eastern wisdom and the thoughts of today's foremost philosophers, healers, and theologians. Come along with me and find answers to your burning questions about life, the universe, and the absurd mystery of the strange forces of existence. Pure Land Living is brought to you by PLX Organics. If you're tired of living with chronic pain, spiritual doubts, or even diabetes, then this is your moment to change everything. PLX Organics is more than just a system of supplements. It's a carefully curated formula for whole life wellness. Tonight, this life-changing wellness system is available to you at the special one-time-only rate of $49.95 a month. Call 555-PLXO. That's 555-PLXO. Operators are standing by. Don't wait. Call right now. Friends, tonight's topic is one I've received countless letters and calls about over the past 25 years, and that's the subject of eschatology. Armageddon, the coming of the next age. To put it simply, how's it going to end? Thousands of years ago, the Buddha spoke of a far-off day when his teachings would be lost.
Hey, how you doing?
Where to?
Can you take me to Ray's Pizza? I could use a salad meal.
Famous Ray's?
Nah, original Ray's. Their calzones are the best in the city. The best.
You got it. Hey, I know you. You're a comedian, right?
Yeah, I'm huge.
Yeah, I saw you at the improv last night. I liked that bit about risk management, man. That was gold.
Let's go, people. Table 6 needs more naan, and table 4 is still waiting on the biryani. Where is the biryani? Show me the biryani. And for the last time, turn off that radio. That Tor Ekman is a very, very bad man.
Mr. Steinbrenner.
Wilhelm, I want you to drop everything and listen to this. I just turned on my radio. I cannot believe what I am hearing. This guy's saying the apocalypse is imminent. Darkness, depravity, pain, and sorrow. The end is near, Wilhelm.
I'm sorry, sir?
There's no time for apologies. I just want you to find this Eggman character and put him on the payroll. I don't know, make him my executive spiritual advisor. On second thought, assistant executive. Gotta leave room to grow. Can't have him walk in on the top floor.
Sir?
See if we've got a bomb shelter somewhere in this place. It's the end of the world as we know it, Wilhelm! Just like that REO Speedwagon song. How's it go? Albuquerque, Turkey, Jerky, Scary, Spice, and Eddie Murphy, Revolution Number 9, Albert Einstein!
So the question you're asking is, what does this mean? For me, for you, for all of us? Well, let me tell you, folks, it's a wake-up call. The dream is over and the nightmare's begun. All you self-made millionaires, social climbers, and lone wolves better recognize your brother, because instant karma's about to knock you on your ass. The new age is here, and God or Brahman or whatever you want to call it is done fucking around. The gardener's coming back to tend the garden, and you better hope you're not a weed. Folks, my advice to you is simple. Take a good look within and see the spiritual network of roots tethering you to your fellow beings. Realize that you are them and they are you. Pursue sublimation into the oneness of the universe and the dissolution of self. Because if you can't, if you're not bearing fruit when the gardener stops by with his gloves and shears, well, good luck with all that. This is it, folks. The series finale. Fade to black. Roll credits. And we're not getting fucking renewed. When we come back, the surprising benefits chiropractic therapy could hold for your sex life.
No. George, George, George.
Mrs. Ross, please.
Oh, you fucking rat, you piece of shit. Spineless fucking cockroach.
Henry, please. Allow me. Oh. We've missed you, George. Actually, I've been meaning to give you something.
Is that Susan's ring?
I'm surprised you never asked for it back. You could still get your money back. We missed you at the hospital that night. The doctor said you'd already left. You and your little friends. But I guess everyone grieves in their own way.
Yes, yes, I was grieving like you said, in my own way. Oh, no, 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 no!
Every night since then, I've had the same dream. You're there. We're standing at the edge of a bottomless pit. I look down, and as I do, you push me in. So I fall and fall and fall forever. But last night's dream was different, George. Last night, I took you down with me. You know, when Susan died, I thought my life was over. But now, I know better. This darkness I've been living in, this thing I've become, deep down, it's all I ever was. Just a vessel for hate and pain. And now you'll feel that pain, too.
Oh, Mrs. Roth, please don't do this!
You never mourned her, did you, George?
You'll
mourn now.
shit! It's him! RJ, get the door.
What? But boss!
You heard me.
What the fuck?
That's gotta hurt.
All right, I'm all packed. Are you happy?
Rarely. Follow me. Your new room's in the East Wing.
Any reason this couldn't wait until morning?
Walden needed your room for another guest. Hilbert policy.
We'll always have room for you.
That's a stupid policy.
Stupid policies are kind of our thing here.
Can't you change it?
Even I am not above the policy.
Huh.
What?
Nothing. It's just... This is gonna sound crazy, but I think I've been here before.
Here?
Yeah.
In this hallway?
I think so.
In this hotel?
Yeah.
In Taiwan?
Yeah.
You're right.
What?
That does sound crazy.
How far out is this place?
Quite a way. Another hour or so.
So, how do you get mixed up in all this?
It's a long story.
Well, I've got time.
I grew up in Paris. My father was a thief and a con man. He made enough to keep me fed most days and drink the rest away. We never stayed in one place too long, so school was not an option. It was just the two of us.
That sounds lonely.
I did have a cousin, little Norman. He lived in the country with his mother. We would visit on holidays. I loved him. We would run through the woods, climb trees, share secrets. Then one Christmas, there was an accident. My father was driving us into town for sweets, but he was very drunk. He lost control on crossing a bridge and drove us into the river. We survived, but I was paralyzed for many years, and the family was never the same. My aunt and cousin moved to New York and never spoke to us again, and I spent my childhood in a hospital, learning to walk again. My father eventually drank himself to death, and I was left alone to raise myself at 13. So I did the only thing I knew. I stole. I became my father. This life is like quicksand, Mr. Kramer. Once you're in it, there is no getting out. Years later, I came here to find Norman, but he had moved west. I still hope to open my door one day and find him there. To hear him say, "Hello, Cherie. Perhaps..."
Oh. Sorry. Slurpee.
Can I help you?
Jerry Seinfeld, I have a 9 o'clock teeth cleaning.
We'll be right with you. You can have a seat.
Jerry takes a seat next to an old man.
This is a waiting room.
Uh-huh.
The next room lies beyond.
I know.
You don't remember me, do you?
Should I?
We met in the air.
Uh-huh.
I had a dog.
Oh, the dog guy. Hey, how was Farfel?
Farfel died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're next.
What?
Mr. Seinfeld?
Well, it's been weird and unsettling.
Prediction. We meet again. In this world, or the next.
Prediction. Whatever's making your breath smell that bad kills you before your next checkup. Good to see you.
Hello?
Stand up, George.
What just happened? Is it... Oh, my God. Are they dead?
Greater threats than these are coming. George, your friends need your help.
What?
Darkness is falling, George. It will consume them. Only you can stop it.
Stop what? What the hell is all this?
Look to your right. What do you see?
A door?
That is the way forward. They are depending on you, George. Move quickly.
I don't understand.
It will not be easy. Danger lies ahead. You may even die. This is a chance you must take.
George reaches for his briefcase and begins to scoop his cash back into it.
Listen, I hear what you're saying.
What?
And you're making a very compelling case. Very compelling.
George, where are you going?
It's just that there are a lot of angles to consider.
That's the wrong door, George. That's the way you came.
Look, I'm just gonna pop into the hall, get some air.
Don't run away, George. They need you.
I'll be right back.
Do you hear that?
I hear a lot of things in this hotel.
What do you mean?
Sound travels through the ventilation. Sometimes it gets stuck.
Stuck?
Yeah. I don't know the word for it, but there's a delay. A couple of drunken honeymooners have a wild night in one room, and you hear it in another room a few weeks later.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You're a scientist. All right, this is you. Here's your key.
Thanks.
Ron.
What?
You didn't ask for my name, but it's Ron. It's just most people would ask.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Ron.
I take tips, by the way.
I'm sorry. I don't have any...
You don't have any money?
I didn't exchange the currency yet.
You know, they'll do it at the airport. Did you see the little booth?
It's just... the line was so long.
Okay. Well... bye. And please, for the love of God, tell the rest of your party to keep it down.
What?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Rest of my party?
What is this place?
The gardener's farm. We're going to the greenhouse. I'll wait here.
Okay.
Cosmo, before you go any further, be sure that this is what you want. You see, you're boarding a train. You can take a seat or you can choose to get off before the doors close. But once the train leaves the station, you can't stop it. Only the conductor can do that. Do you understand?
Say, what's that accent? Is that Dutch?
Are you joking? I'm French. We talked about this.
Well, yeah, but...
Just get out.
Well, giddy up.
Jerry, how's it hanging?
Wally, what'd you do? Shave your head?
Yeah, you like it?
Well, it's different.
You're goddamn right.
What?
Nothing. Let's take a look. Now, say, Oh, this is no good. I'm afraid they're gonna have to come out.
What?
Your teeth, Jerry.
All of them.
What?
Open wide.
Okay.
Now see, here's the problem. Look at this molar.
What the hell is that?
Now, ordinarily, we'd expect to see blood vessels and nerves coming out the bottom here. But these are plant roots. Limbonocifera, to be exact. Very unusual. Have you been eating seeds lately, Jerome?
Well, what?
I suspect they're all like that. And it's just going to get worse. Prognosis negative, my friend. Best to nip it in the bud.
Oh, Wally, stop!
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Jerry wakes up in his bed. He rolls over, wiping his mouth with his hand and finding blood. He's bitten his tongue in his sleep. He sits up, rubs his jaw, and turns his attention to the potted lotus flower on his nightstand. A single pink petal has fallen from the bloom.
God, which door is it?
George pushes open a door and steps into a stairwell.
What the hell?
He leans over the railing. The stairs extend downward into darkness.
What is this place?
The rusty railing gives way under his weight. George jumps back, dropping his briefcase over the side. It tumbles down into the darkness.
No!
George looks around in panic. Hesitates, and then runs down the stairwell.
Shit!
George reaches the landing and turns a corner, finding only another flight of stairs.
Come on!
George finally reaches the bottom, finding himself at one end of a dark, massive sewage tunnel. A shallow stream of water trickles into the passage through a pipe in the wall. It flows slowly down the tunnel.
What the? Oh my God, what's that smell?
Wet cardboard, rotten food, and decomposing garbage cover the floor.
Where the hell am I?
Suddenly, something bobs up to the surface of the water. George's briefcase. George steps into the water to retrieve it. Suddenly, a massive surge of water cascades into the tunnel. The current picks up speed, washing the briefcase downstream.
Oh!
George slips, falling face down into the refuse. George is dragged helplessly down the river of sewage. The briefcase is whisked out of sight. He flails about, struggling in vain to grab hold of the tunnel walls pummeled by the waves. The water is now up to his neck. Ahead in the darkness, George hears the unmistakable sound of a waterfall.
Thank you.
Elaine steps through a door into the front hall of a small apartment. The lights are off. The wallpaper is peeling.
Hello?
Elaine turns a corner into a small kitchen. A woman of about 30, dressed in an apron and a cheap dress, sits at a table, cradling an infant.
I'm so sorry. They told me this was my room.
The woman doesn't seem to hear her. A well-dressed man with a high and tight haircut leans against the counter, holding a glass half-filled with ice, staring out the window. He smokes a cigarette.
I think there was a mix-up. I can just go downstairs and... I'm sorry, can you hear me?
The woman ignores Elaine.
Well, will you visit?
The man opens a cabinet, takes out a bottle of Hennigan's, and pours himself a drink.
When I can. If I can.
Can you see me?
The woman pulls her baby in close and rocks it gently.
Please don't smoke around the kids.
Every month you'll get something in the mail from me. Cash. It'll be enough.
They need to know their father. Maybe if...
We're done talking about this, Mary. It is what it is.
Alton.
God damn it, Mary.
Alton Bennis throws his glass, which shatters into a million shards against the wall.
Oh my God.
You have to understand that there is no world in which you become a part of my life. Not in the way you're dreaming of.
No. Just something to fuck, I guess.
If you weren't holding my child...
What?
Alton walks into the living room where a little girl sits and watches television.
Hey, kid.
Mary walks into the room.
I think you should go.
Lainey, look at me.
Lainey? Get the fuck out of my house, Alton.
Mary.
Get out!
Alton storms past Mary, crushing bits of glass into his boots, and passes Elaine in the hall. Mary collapses to the floor, still cradling the infant. The child gets up and runs to her mother. Elaine looks on.
Mom!
Kramer pushes open a heavy door and slides into the greenhouse. He takes a look around. The room is enormous. Rows of shelves are topped with flowers of every size and color. At the other end of the room, Kramer can just make out the shape of a tall man in a wide-brimmed gardener's hat. As he approaches, Kramer can see that the man is watering a row of lotus flowers. The man does not look up from his task.
Lovely night.
Sure. Maybe a bit... foggy.
Yes. The way is there, but the path is obscured. We see only what is just ahead. The rest is a matter of trust.
Uh-huh.
Do you garden, Mr. Kramer?
I dabble.
The gardener leans down, tenderly inspecting the flowers with a soft touch.
I've always felt most at home in a garden. Tending to plants has a way of grounding you. Reminds you of your connection to the earth. Sowing seeds, bringing life up out of the soil. As we ourselves were once brought up. I even like pulling weeds. It's cathartic, really, to dig down to the root and pull out something harmful. In that way, a gardener is something of a doctor to the garden, removing disease to save the body.
Uh-huh.
The gardener puts down his watering can and observes his plants with pride.
You see, although each flower is a unique living thing in the broader sense of the ecosystem, they all form a single organism.
He runs his gloved fingers through the soil, finding a small green sprout.
Do you understand?
Yeah, the flowers are separate in one sense, but in another sense, they're all connected.
Precisely.
The gardener strokes the sprout affectionately before swiftly ripping it from the soil.
So, when I remove a weed, it represents not the death of one individual, but rather a vital act of mercy for the greater good. Which brings us to Bob. Mr. Kramer, your friend is not an evil man, any more than a weed can be evil. But like the weed, Mr. Sakamano's existence threatens the health of those around him. To allow him to live would be to act with willful malice toward the garden. Unless...
Unless what?
Mr. Kramer, do you believe in the soul?
Yeah. Why?
A plant needs three things to live: water, light, and earth. When you uproot a plant from the soil, you sever its connection to the earth. But if you place the plant in new soil, such as in a flower pot, the plant lives.
Look, where are you going with this?
Mr. Sakamano has been uprooted, Cosmo. His connection to our world has been torn, but his soul can find a new home. If you are willing to help him, are you willing to do what it takes to help him?
What does it take?
A plant needs a pot. Soul needs a body. Mr. Kramer, I'm asking you to give your friend a new home.
A new body?
Exactly. We have identified a suitable candidate. He's a friend of yours. A jester, a weed. Like Bob.
Jerry?
Yes, Jerry. We've had our eye on him for some time, but it's difficult sneaking up on a comedian, what with their unpredictable hours. If you can bring him to us, we'll take care of the rest.
Oh. No, Jerry's my friend.
Is he? Jerry dismisses you, mocks you. He certainly doesn't respect you. Is that how a friend behaves? And of course, as harmful as Mr. Sakamano is, he has a family, a wife, and a child. Removing him will cause pain for them. Jerry, on the other hand, is alone. He already has no roots. His death would be painless for the garden.
Who are you?
Just a groundskeeper, really. A humble steward of God's acre, as they say. But it's a job I take seriously. Look, I don't want to rush you, but we will need to act with expedience. The longer this disease festers, the more harm it does to my plants. I'll give you 24 hours.
Oh, and Mr. Kramer?
As the gardener steps into the light, Kramer sees that his eyes are fully black.
If you do not make this decision, it will be made for you.
This week's musical guest is a very special episode, a New York band inspired by noise rock, post-punk, and David Lynch. Their 2023 album, Freak Me Out, is available to stream on Bandcamp. From that album, here is a very special episode with Heaven's Gate.
We'll be right back.
The Other Side of Darkness is voiced by Michael Scudieri as Jerry and Mr. Steinbrenner, Ethan Dragon as George, Beth Maraver as Elaine, Mike Dowd as Kramer, Tevin Milton as Jackie Childs, David Montgomery as Tor Ekman, John Cohen as Rabbi Glickman, Kenny Banya, Wilhelm, and Gavin Pallone, Ryan Paul as Babu Bhatt, Deborah Childs as Mrs. Ross, Tom Tadaro as Mr. Ross, Polar Nazoo as RJ, Mitchell Hargis as Ron, Katie Drake as Cherie Malenfant, Galen Howard as Tim Watley, Farron McGinnis as Mary Venice, Tim Andrews as Alton Venice, and Colin Keating as The Gardener. Additional voices by Thomas Cliquet, Lauren Margot, Lauren Maffey, Michael Scudieri, Ryan Paul, Lindsay Watson, and Patrick Edwards. Music by Patrick Edwards, Ivor Bowitz, Cody McCory, Robert McDonald, Patrick Mahan, Jake Bowman, Caleb Churchill, Gory Explosives, Dimitri Taras, Serge Quadrado Music, and Jesse Brooks. Sound effects downloaded from freesound.org. Laughter sound effect by Jay Zazvirek under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 international license. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a positive rating and review on your podcasting app. You can follow Sign Peaks on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, and we've also got a Facebook group you can join. Just search Sign Peaks, two words, on Facebook. And if you'd like to support this series, you can visit patreon.com/signpeaks to get early access to episodes and exclusive merchandise. All links mentioned can be found in this episode's show notes. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, you might also enjoy Watching Owen Wilson, the first podcast dedicated entirely to everyone's favorite catchphrase-loving comedic actor. Hosts Jake Menez and Michael J. Teeter make their way through Owen Wilson's entire filmography, rating each movie, counting each wow, and bringing in guests in an effort to befriend Owen Wilson himself. Find Watching Owen Wilson on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and at watercooler.com. The Other Side of Darkness is written, performed, and produced strictly as a work of parody. The Other Side of Darkness is not endorsed by Castle Rock Entertainment, Sony Pictures, NBC, Warner Brothers Records, Rhino Records, Lynch Frost Productions, Twin Peaks Productions, CBS, or Showtime. This podcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Seinfeld, the Seinfeld logo, and all Seinfeld characters, story elements, and intellectual property are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders. The makers of The Other Side of Darkness make no claims, directly or indirectly, of ownership to any elements held by these trademark and or copyright holders, other than original characters, story elements, and other intellectual properties created specifically by the makers of this podcast. Musical elements referencing themes and motifs from the original theme music to Seinfeld and Twin Peaks are created expressly as works of parody and do not imply claims to ownership of said music.
Lion, stay.
You're about to check me out. What's this? Oh, another.